Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke cord. But it's no hoax bar, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slapping Me to Wrestling podcast. still dealing with this chest cold stuff, but we're getting better, and we getting better. We got the water here just in case something happens. You know, who knows? But had to bring you another Sunday episode of the podcast. We're gonna break down SmackDown from Friday, and not every segment, but really what I want to do with this, because y'all know me, when I do like reviews for shows, I'm not the go segment by segment, move by move, match by match type reviewer. I want to review this show by asking one question. Did this episode add anything to WrestleMania? Right, that's the question we have to ask when we watch these shows, right? There's a way we're supposed to watch these, right? Triple H and the producers and the writers and everyone involved in making the show, they have one job. Their job is to create emotional connections to characters and storylines that lead us to the big finale at the PLEs, which the next one coming up being WrestleMania. And I do not believe that anything that happened on Friday night did any of that. And so for me, that episode was a failure. And so that's where we're going to, but it's just not one night. This goes back to Monday night, very little storytelling. The last Friday, very little storytelling. The Monday before then, very little storytelling. This entire build, as I've been saying since we started this in January, since early January, I've been saying very little build towards WrestleMania. I said I'll give you to Rumble, right? Because Rumble's really the, you know, official start of the road to Mania, right? And Rumble is late February, but that's typically where Rumble is, right? And we get the Rumble winners, and we don't really get any storyline from it, right? And I said I'll give you the Chamber early, you know, March 1st, to start to put together some story leading into WrestleMania. And now here we are, 27 days away from WrestleMania. We are quite literally a month away from WrestleMania. And I don't know if anything that has been confirmed and anything that is, you know, happening on TV right now has any purpose. Last year at this time, leading into WrestleMania, there was an excitement in the air for 90% of the card. Now, granted, not a lot of that card didn't have a lot of follow-up through it. So for the last 365 days, Triple H has been really poor at doing what he's supposed to be doing and building stories outside of Drew and Punk, and I would even say something like a Rhea and a Liv, which had a little bit of life to it. But outside of those two feuds, has Triple H done anything for us in the last 365 days? But what did I also tell you at the chamber? He gave you your feast. We're now we're 22 days past that feast with 27 days leading in the Mania. And he's not going to feed you no more. I told you this. But this doesn't take a rocket scientist. I'm not going to sit here and applaud myself, right? The episode titles, are you going to listen to me? And that's the question. Are you guys ready to finally say, we too deep, you were correct? Because what I hear from the casual audience all the time is, you're a little too picky. You need to be patient. No. We too deep is ahead of the game here. We too deep is ahead of the game, right? There are some swerves Triple H threw in that I was not ready for, right? The Jey Uso victory at Rumble, was not prepared for that. Did not think that that would happen. The John Cena heel turn, was not prepared for that. These are little tricks Triple H uses to get people like me who smell the scent and they're hard to be manipulated off the scent, right? Like I told you the Bianca Belair... Excuse me. I told you the Bianca Belair stuff was going to happen, right? I told you that we probably weren't going to have the two women's mid-card titles on the Mania card, right? There's just some sense that I pick up on, right? Very early. And this is one of them, right? And I told you when Jey Uso won Royal Rumble that they better have a story. They better have a plan. I've been told so many times, Triple H has a plan. Let him work. Let him cook. And guys, it's almost like no one listens to... I've been dealing with Triple H booking since Black and Gold NXT. This has been my brand. It's been my thing. Black and Gold NXT was my show. I've been dealing with Triple H being in control of creative, of NXT, and watching that and seeing the same type of booking that he did there come to the main roster and become popular, right? It's the same thing. Like if you look at the old takeover cards, right? Four or five matches that each get plenty of time and can breathe and live and thrive in that time. Well, that's the same thing he's doing to the main roster. Triple H is literally taking Black and Gold NXT to Raw and SmackDown, right? And so you get pay-per-views that are 4 hours long that have five matches, or two-night WrestleManias that have five matches each, which is what I think we're going to get this year, right? But what I want to do is I want to run through everything that we're seeing on this build to WrestleMania. Every so-called story, right? Because here's my hot take. Triple H right now, his booking is very AEW-esque, right? And that sort of offends both parties, right? Because the AEW fans will be like, oh, no, that's disrespectful. We're doing really good. And I keep getting told by these AEW fans, right, that, oh, you never critique AEW. WWE, but when I do, then it's also not good enough because my critique of WWE is that Tony Khan and Triple H are booking the same. But I'm saying that in a negative way towards WWE because it is already a negative and that Tony Khan doesn't know what he's doing booking wise. He doesn't understand the business, right? And so WWE books at this point like an AEW show. That's what it feels like to me. Like these, especially these European shows, which are just house shows disguised as Raws and SmackDowns. And so I want to run through Mania right now and see if we could figure out what the story is. So let's run through the matches that we've either been confirmed to get or we were suspected to get. Right, so let's start with what we already know, and that's John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. Okay, there's a little bit of story to hang on there. It's not the greatest, but there's a story there. So we'll give it a check mark with John Cena in the heel turn. We'll let that play out a little bit. We won't be unfair, right? We'll let this play out till Mania. That's fine. Okay, so we got one story. Right, but well, let's go to the other side. We got Jey Uso versus Gunther. Well, what's the story here? Well, there is none. And you've had about 2.5 months now. By the time you get to Mania, you'll have 3.5 months to tell me a story as to why I should care about Jey Uso, other than the fact that he's 0-4 against Gunther right now. 0-6 in single titles opportunities. And but that's not even the story you're telling me. Because you're not even making this about his record. You're making this about Yeet versus whatever Gunther is, right? And Gunther is not the greatest heel, let's be honest. but the way you're presenting this is you got Gunther fighting random jobbers, whether it's Tozawa or Otis or a debuting Axiom, which was solely there to lose. You have Gunther fighting jobbers and Jey Uso not coming to the save of Axiom. Right? Excuse me. Or Jey Uso getting choked out 3 weeks in a row. Right? There's very little actual storytelling being told in this feud. And this is why I asked you guys, are you guys certain you really want this? Because there's no reason why Jey Uso, you're going to have to be very, very diligent in trying to convince me this was the best story possible. I still believe Cody versus Jey Uso would have been the best option. To have Jey beat Cody, Roman come out and say, bro, congratulations, you want the title back to the bloodline. Now give it back to the tribal chief. And then you go into SummerSlam, Jey versus Roman, where Jey can then defeat Roman and then take over the bloodline. Right? That's the story you could have had. But instead, we're not going that direction. Right? We're going Jey versus Gunther, which has absolutely been a boring build with no story. And you're coming off a dude in Jey Uso who can't wrestle. And he shows in these pressure points, he trips over the ropes or he botches. And look, the botches don't really matter to me. but at this point, Jey Uso just feels like marketing. And this doesn't feel like we're putting the best person in place for this spot. We're putting someone in this spot solely because they're marketing. And it feels corporate and it feels... It feels pushed and not organic. Whereas something like a Kofi Mania was very organic. The Yes Movement at the beginning was very organic. But the Yeet Movement sort of feels kind of manufactured and pushed down our throat at this point. And so I have zero confidence in this match, zero interest in Jey versus Gunther. There's no story. There's no reason for me to care. Jay's going to get his win. He's going to yeet in front of 70,000 people. And then we're going to move on and have a terrible reign from Jey Uso, right? Because that's what always has been my question is, okay, well, then what's next? And there's no story following up, right? You talk about the women's division, right? And we talk about Tiffany versus Charlotte, which was the best match that you could possibly do in this situation, but it's the way you're booking it. And what have I always said? 90% of wrestling is the booking. 90% of the show is booking, and the booking's just been awful, right? Two things you could have done to swap it up. You could keep the roles the same and just have Tiffany Stratton come off as a bad bitch that the fans love, and she has a fan base, and Charlotte's jealous of her, and look at what I've done in 4 years compared to how long it took you to get to where to even be where my level is, right? Or Tiffany could have played the heel, and Charlotte comes back talking about, look at the rehab I had to do. And I think that you could have gotten sympathy out of Charlotte. You know, everyone calls me a Nepo baby, but I put in work, and if it was nepotism, I would have never been back where I'm at. I worked my ass off to get here type storyline for, right? And so you could do better. The matchup's fine. The match is going to be good. But the matchup here in terms of storytelling and what you're telling me and trying to get me convinced to watch is just not working. There's not any good storytelling here. Right? You have 3 weeks in a row of Charlotte standing over top of Tiffany. Tiffany not fighting back. It's crazy. You have this promo here on Friday where Charlotte appears to go off script. A lot of people assume she went off script, and Tiffany was not prepared for that and just stayed on what was decided upon in practice. And if excuse me, and if that's the case, shame on Charlotte for doing that. Because that's the same thing Adam Page would have did to someone like CM Punk, right? I don't know if that's the case or not. That's what's being said. But it didn't make Tiffany look good. So far, this feud has not made Tiffany look good at all. It's actually made a lot of people question her ability to be where she's at. And so I think that's absolutely crazy. Because Tiffany Stratton is, I believe, one of the better women in the division right now. On the other side, you got Io Sky is randomly inserted as champion a month and a half before Mania so that you can make a triple threat, which, like I said on Friday, didn't need to exist. You could have easily put Io Sky in a match that mattered against someone like Lyra Valkyria, because as I said, those two women's titles are completely worthless. You bring them in and they're great ideas, but you give them zero purpose. And with zero purpose, now they're just floating around. No, what's the point of having them, right? The mid card of this roster is being highly neglected, in my opinion. Lyra Valkyria is one of the best women's wrestlers on the roster. And this could have been a possibility to be a very good stepping stone for her. But that title needed to be treated with respect and prestige to make it feel important. And I think the best way you could have done that was to have someone like Io Sky beat Lyra. Lyra versus Io would have been a banger of a match that would have satisfied the same core group of people who want Io in the world title match. And then we could still get Titan versus Titan that they've been promoting and pushing and teasing for the last 2 years. And we could get that match, right? Because my fear is we'll be patient and wait until next WrestleMania it'll happen, is that something else will come up. Julia will be on the main roster. Stephanie Vaquera will be on the main roster. And that's a better match to some than Rhea versus Bianca. So then we never get the feud. It's hot right now. Go ahead and do it right now. Like sometimes you just got to pull the trigger when it's hot. There might be something better down the line, but there might not be. So go ahead and pull the trigger now and take what you can get. Because this would this could have been like Mania doesn't just have to be the ending of feuds. It could be a start of a feud. And that's what I see this match being for Bianca. So Bianca versus Rhea isn't to create a feud between Bianca and Rhea. It's to be the transitional match to get us to Bianca versus Jade, and then Rhea versus someone else down the line, maybe like a Raquel, or maybe Rhea loses the title here and takes some time off. I don't know. That could have been a better situation than putting it on Io as a transitional champion, because I do believe Bianca Belair still walking out of Mania with the belt so that they could put Jade versus Bianca at SummerSlam for the belt. And that's truly what I believe. Now, it doesn't necessarily require the championship, but I do believe they put it in that match. I do. I don't see another reason why you wouldn't do that. But outside of there being a triple threat now, like there's no storytelling being told here. There's really like Rhea's a child. The reason it's a triple or going to be a triple threat is because Rhea signed her name on a contract that didn't belong there. And now, and then she's brawling in the back, and we're using these tropes, and there's no actual creativity being involved in these storylines. There's nothing creative involved in what we got right now. Right. So those are the four world titles. And then we get into something like Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins, which I do believe is now official. And this has the potential of being the best match on the card, but the storyline's just not there, right? Roman's whole excuse on Friday in this promo, his whole reasoning for coming out last Monday at Madison Square Garden, right? And pulling Seth out of the cage, his whole reasoning for that must have been written by the same team that wrote the reason for why Christian Cage cashed in his title and then thinks he deserves it back. If you guys don't watch AEW, what I'm talking about is Christian Cage came out and said when he cashed in, he thought he was cashing in on a one-on-one match against Cope. Which, guys, if you don't watch the product, let me tell you why that's retarded as shit. Because Cope wasn't the champion. You can't cash in on it for a championship match against a non-champion. It's stupid. It made Christian Cage look retarded. And the same person must have wrote this match or this promo for Roman, because Roman came out here and said, I'm pissed off at CM Punk because he eliminated me at the Royal Rumble, a match in which the entire objective is to eliminate all the other people in the match. Why the fuck would CM Punk not eliminate you? That's the whole purpose of being in the match, Roman. You look dumb saying this shit. Who wrote this line? It was dumb. And so this whole feud is predicated on the fact that Roman got eliminated at WrestleMania, and that's why he has beef with CM Punk. And Seth has beef with CM Punk because that's really the only part of the story that makes sense, right? But Seth says, Roman, we're connected at the hip. We came into this together. I'm your architect. You need me, blah, blah, right? We're always going to be together in this business. And that's the story, which isn't much of a story to begin with. It is definitely, there is zero emotional connection to this match whatsoever. Same thing with Priest and Drew McIntyre. This seems like Drew's whole argument against Priest is that you've eliminated me in the two matches where your entire job is to eliminate the other people. It's stupid, dude. It's stupid. There's no reason. If we look back in hindsight, this match should have, this should have been two match. This should have been Punk versus Rollins to end that, and Roman versus Drew, because there was something going on there that they completely dropped. Roman versus Drew would have been a bigger match, a better match, and then you can do Punk versus Rollins to completely end the feud. Right? You could have saved the cage match for WrestleMania, and it would have been better. Right, you look at the rest of the mid card. We don't know what's going on with Braun Breaker. Like, he won the title back from Jey Uso, and since then has been completely absent. It feels like there's no actual idea in the world as to what is happening with the Intercontinental Championship picture. The U.S. picture is even more convoluted because it appears now that Solo and Jacob Fatu is in this picture. None of it's good storytelling. It's just a bunch of convoluted messes. And then you have the tag team division, which is almost non-existent on Raw. And then you have the same sort of convoluted mess in the tag division on SmackDown that you do in the rest of the mid-card, where there's really no purpose to it. You have random title matches on free TV. For those who don't know, you know, the Profits just won the title, defended them a week after against Los Garza. They're going to defend them again next week against Pretty Deadly. You have a U.S. title match next week. Braun Breaker's defending his title on Monday. And so we're doing a bunch of mid-card title matches for the fuck of it, because it's a house show being disguised as a television show, and none of it matters. None of it has storytelling, and it's really, really bad. This build to WrestleMania, I'm going to say this has me feeling almost as bad as WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, and but at least 32 had a had an excuse. 32's excuse was everyone was hurt. Ambrose, I think, ended up being hurt, which is why Triple H ended up getting the belt or fighting the belt against Roman. I believe that's what was going on there. A whole bunch of injuries were happening in that on that roster at the time, and it was just an awful build and an awful WrestleMania. And I think 41, I think the results will be okay. I just, this build has been absolute booty cheek. There's no excitement. There's zero excitement from me in this match, right? And so let's be honest. WrestleMania is exciting because it's WrestleMania. And we're going to get some big surprises. And this is why I point out Triple H's booking methods, because he does try to manipulate you, because something's going to happen. Stone Cold's going to show up, or some swerve's going to happen during the show. And everyone's going to leave the night, but then look at how good WrestleMania was. All of you need to apologize to Triple H. And the answer is no. And I said this at Elimination Chamber when Triple H came on stage. It was like, it feels like we're on the road to WrestleMania. Triple H, it's been 22 days since that speech. You've done jack shit to make me care about WrestleMania. I had a little bit of excitement on March 1st going into WrestleMania, feeling, okay, maybe he's corrected course. Maybe he did have a plan. 22 days later, I don't feel any more confident in WrestleMania. In fact, I believe that I've been in front of this, because now I got guys like JD saying the same thing I've been saying for 2 months. Got guys like Jobber, which I like JD from NY. I like Jobber. These are guys that are very objective in how they see wrestling. I don't always agree with them on everything, but they are very objective. They say what they feel about the product. And you got guys like them who are more IWC hardcore fans who are starting to jump into my boat and onto my island. And I got casual guys who are starting to acknowledge what I've been saying for the last 3 months is starting to come true. Triple H cannot book. He just can't. And now everyone's hopping on the island, where I've been here by myself setting up shop. And there's been some that have, you know, been along the ride with me. Kara, for the most part, in our Discord, she tends to be right there beside me in this, right? There's some other hardcore fans that I've seen out there that's been complaining about this build sometimes, right? And so the Triple H apologists are now starting to realize Triple H is not as good as he boosts himself to be. There are tricks to this. And when you start to recognize the tricks, you start to realize you're being manipulated. There is no plan. Triple H is booking on the seat of his pants right now because he has no idea what's going on. There was no long-term plan. And I think a lot of this has to be because Dwayne wasn't 100% committed, so he couldn't get Roman versus Rock at this Mania. And I think that maybe threw a monkey wrench in the system, but there should have been a backup plan. If Triple H books 6 months ahead, like we're told he does, there should have been a backup plan. Right? Because 6 months ago, Dragunov was available, but he got hurt. Bronson Reed got hurt in that time, right? And I'm not saying injuries haven't happened on this roster to some key players. I'm just saying you have to, there are matches that could have happened. Solo versus Jacob, I still think will happen. Maybe, but I don't know. Are they going to just be randomly in a six-man for the U.S. title? Who knows, right? Who fucking knows at this point? Triple H has zero, just the way the booking looks to me, there just feels to be zero planning long-term. And then you go and you compare it to something like a Stand and Deliver, which they've just started to turn the corner from Roadblock into Stand and Deliver. And I've immediately become interested in Trick versus Oba and the build to get to NXT with the Stand and Deliver, with what's happening with Stephanie Vaquer and the double championship. She's defending both belts next Tuesday. You got Julia showing up at house shows for NXT, challenging, maybe saying that she wants a rematch. Could we get Julia versus Stephanie again at Stand and Deliver? Are we going to get a four-way at Stand and Deliver? What's going to come down? There's so much excitement, and it's real simple because NXT does two things that the main roster doesn't have: actual storytelling and character development. Everything on NXT has a character, and it grows week to week. We haven't had growth in any storylines on the main roster in what feels like a month. We haven't had any growth. And so if you're not growing, you're dying. The build to WrestleMania is not good. I've been saying this. I don't have to keep repeating it. I do, because I repeat what is true, because the truth doesn't change. Right? I know most of you are probably tired of hearing me say the same thing over and over and over again. But the problem is the truth does not change. So I can't change I can't change what I say, because what I say is the truth. And we're booking this WrestleMania build, to me, very similar to how Tony Khan books All In or Double or Nothing or Revolution, where he puts together some matches for the sake of matches. And there really doesn't have to be that good of storytelling, because the fans are going to cheer for the good matches. And I feel that's what Triple H has done with this WrestleMania card, is we're just going to put on some good matches. The crowd will cheer, and that's that. And that doesn't satisfy me. I want good, entertaining stories. That's all most of us casual fans want. We want to be entertained. We want to have some fun for the 2 hours that you have me watching wrestling for, or the 3 hours that you have me watching wrestling for. I want to have some fun and sing along time with the European crowd and boring promos that are poorly written and 30-minute wrestling matches for Selena Vega, which no one gives two fucks about. Right, Piper Niven should not have taken 12 minutes or however long it took to beat Selena Vega. That should have been a 5-minute match. Right? And the only other story that maybe has some sort of story to it is Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And there's some story there. But even then, it's very elementary. And I can't blame the performers. This is solely a producer thing. No one's telling me why I should care about any of this. This is my number one critique against AEW, right? Who is Megan Bain? Why should I care about Megan Bain? What is Megan Bain here for? What are her motivations? Why is she with Penelope Ford? Why does she never talk? None of this has been explained to me via the commentary. The only thing that has been explained to me by fans of AEW about Megan Bain is she's a beast in the ring and she whips people's asses. Well, that's not a character. That's not a storyline. That's very boring. That is elementary storytelling at its best. And there's nothing coming from it. And now she's trying to fight Toni Storm, for whatever reason that we still haven't been told, right? It's crazy, right? Tony Khan and Triple H are the exact opposite, are the exact same to me. They book very similar. And I've been saying that because I think it's the truth. And Triple H will hide behind, well, we had a few more weeks to build, so we have to, we can't give you everything. No, Triple H, build me a story. Stop with the excuses. Stop with all the stupidness. Just build a story. There's no reason why I couldn't have got 10 great matches that have 10 good storylines leading into these matches. Right? There's no reason why that couldn't have happened. Except for that you chose not to do it. That's the only reason. So that's the episode today. I ain't got a lot to to say this is just an episode saying, hey, are y'all going to listen to me? Are y'all going to listen to me finally? We Too Deep's been right in front of this, right on the X. Triple H has tried to swerve everybody. Triple H has tried to outsmart the marks. Triple H has tried to throw us off the scent. But We Too Deep's been right above the target since January, and no one's wanted to listen to him. I was right about the Wyatts. I was right about the Wyatt Six. I was right about the whole Gable Wyatt Six storyline and that it was going to lead to nothing. But no one wanted to listen to me. I was right about, you know, it's going to show in due time that I was right about Jey Uso. This WrestleMania build, I'm right about. Guys, I'm right about a lot of things. I just am. I'm right above the X marks the spot. I can see the target, and I'm right above it. Triple H could try to throw me off the scent, but I don't get manipulated by his tricks because I know what they are. The problem is a lot of the casual fans want the tricks just as much as the hardcore fans do. I just want to be entertained. I have no alliances. I'm not a Fed drone. I'm not a Tony Khan cock rider. Clearly, I'm not a Tony Khan cock writer, but I'm definitely not an e-drone either. I get accused of being an e-drone. You know, I'm not popular enough for anyone to say that, oh, he's on the payroll, but I'm sure that would be an excuse if I was popular enough and had a larger viewing. Oh, We Too Deep's on the payroll. He's critiquing Triple H. Now the check must have not cleared. No, I don't have alliances. I just say what I feel. And if that offends you, that offends you. And that's a you problem, not a me problem. Right. But that's the episode. I think people should take We Too Deep's word for it. A little bit more serious in this wrestling podcasting game. That's just where I'm at. Are you going to listen to me? How many more times do I got to be correct about what's going on here? How many more times do I got to make an episode saying, welcome to the party, you're late. I've been here. I told you to get off the Jey Uso train. I told you to get off of this WrestleMania build because it hasn't been good. And everyone said, no, we're going to be patient. And your patience has just proven me correct. Welcome to the island. You're late. I'm glad to have you. But I don't trust you. I don't trust your judgment. Because I told you this, right? I told you this. Welcome to the party, but recognize that you're staring at your casual wrestling, at your wrestling podcast tribal chief is We Too Deep. So acknowledge me, motherfuckers, because I am correct. I've been correct. I'm always correct. That's just what this is. That's just what this is. I am We Too Deep. I am the tribal chief of wrestling podcasting. I am the head of the table of casual podcasting. I am the Nostradamus. I can see things coming well beyond the swerves of Triple H. I am him. And I hardly ever miss. So let me know what y'all think about this topic. Thank you for watching. And I will see you on Tuesday with me and Wavy D. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping me wrestling every Tuesday.